A man came running to Jesus with possibly the best question that a man could ask, and definitely the best person who you could ask that question of, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Wouldn't we love it if people were to come into this church and ask us that question? Or if you were to meet people where you work, or your neighbours, if they were to come and ask you this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We'd be overjoyed. But the result might not always be a joyful one. And the result, or the end of this encounter with this man who was rich and didn't want to lose his possessions, he wanted eternal life, and he thought he kept the commandments quite well. But in the end, he went away from Jesus, not liking the answer, and he went away sad. And as far as we know, no mention again of this man in the Bible. So we assume that he not only did he not like the answer that he got, but he did nothing about the knowledge that he was given as to what to do to be saved. One thing was stopping this man from following the Lord Jesus Christ and being his disciple, and that was his trust in riches. And that's a very important word, I think. He trusted in riches. And it's not that he was just rich, but it was the position that his riches were in his life. They were everything to him. And they were first, second, third, and last. Everything was about his wealth. We don't know whether he inherited it or whether he was a good worker and worked his way up the ladder of society and became rich that way. And very briefly this afternoon, I want to talk about trust, truth, and justice, with not the same focus on each word. God's commandments, we're told by the Apostle John in 1 John 5 verse 3, are not grievous. God's commandments are not grievous. The word grievous means they're not heavy. And we could read they don't cause us grief. And I'm not saying that God's commandments are easy to obey. In fact, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and might and strength. We all fail. But we are to do our best to obey the commands of God. And they're not burdensome to us. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be grievous to us. And a weight in our life. I've said this before to the young people. Imagine if everybody in the world were to keep God's Ten Commandments. What a world it would be. It wouldn't be heaven, because we'd still die and we still have disease and we still have to work, but it would be a completely much more pleasant place in which to live. You would know that you would never be stolen or mugged or murdered. And if you did make any mistakes, you know that you would get justice in a court of law. The ninth commandment is thou shalt not bear false witness. And the context of that commandment is giving evidence in a court of law or to authorities. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And we are to give the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We're not to hold anything back when we give evidence in a court. And if people told the truth in court as best they can, I mean, just because you've told the truth doesn't mean to say it's correct. You may have just remembered wrong, but as far as you're concerned, it's the truth. But if it's the whole truth, then you would be giving a dependable testimony. You're not trying to deceive. You're not trying to hide anything because possibly you're involved and you're guilty in some way. But if there's complete honesty, then we will have a better trust, shall we say, injustice that served. And justice is not always, we wouldn't always agree with some of the justice that's dished out today. There are different levels of law courts, aren't there? And one court might decide X, and then you appeal, and the next court decides Y. Well, why is there a difference? The law is the law, and it should be implemented, and justice should result from the truth being known and a proper sentence being delivered for a crime. But there's a lot of variability in our justice system, but I don't want to talk about that. I want to just quickly remind us of some people in the Bible who didn't bear a true witness. They bore a false witness. You remember Joseph. He was enslaved and he worked very well for his master. His master loved him and they got on very well. But unfortunately, his wife wanted Joseph in a wrong way. She wanted to lie with him and to commit adultery with him. And Joseph refused. And because of that, his master's wife bore false witness, false testimony against Joseph. And he was thrown in prison as a result. So false witness can cause all sorts of wrong to occur. The King Ahab. He was out one day, no doubt, and perhaps on many occasions he saw this plot of land that had a vineyard on it, and it was right up close, right next to his palace. And he desired that plot of land for himself. And he asked the owner, Naboth, if he could buy it from him. He offered him a fair price, probably more than it was worth. I mean, he was the king. He could offer what he liked, probably. But Naboth, because it was in his family, part of his history, he didn't want to sell the plot of land, the vineyard that he had. And so Ahab sulked, and his wife Jezebel decided to obtain the plot of land falsely for her husband. And so she arranged for false witnesses to give false testimony about Naboth and got him killed, got him out of the way. And so she bare a false witness. Well, she didn't bear a false witness. She got others to bear false witness for her. And the result, again, was terrible for one man. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. They were bringing money, gifts to the church. And they said that they'd sold some land and that this is all the money that they'd got. But it wasn't. It was only part of the sum. And they were bearing a false testimony to the other disciples. And God just struck them down because of their lie. Remember Stephen. He was preaching. And those that didn't like what he was saying, they brought blasphemous words to him, and he was accused of blasphemy, but that got him stoned, but it was false. And of course our Lord Jesus Christ at his trial, they brought many witnesses to his trial, but they were all false witnesses and they told lies and they bore a false witness. And Christians today should be prepared to face people bringing lies when we're accused of all sorts of things, hate crime, because of the things that we might preach. And Jesus says these words to us, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And so trust relies upon faith. Sorry, another word for trust is dependability, reliability, or faith. We put our trust in things, we put our faith in things, rely upon things, we depend upon things, trust. And the word truth, other words for that is honesty, or to be honest, or genuine. The opposite of truth is dishonesty, or being economical with the truth. So it's not the whole truth. And we have some famous lies in the Bible. You remember Jacob? He actually said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. A blatant lie. He bore false witness. A lie, deception, deceit, cheating. There were two midwives at the time when the Pharaoh wanted to restrict the numbers of the Hebrews. And he ordered the midwives, and there was two of them, to kill any newborn child that was male. But they refused to do so. And they had to lie to Pharaoh and say that they were already born before we could get there to help. And they did this because they feared God. And they were blessed of God, it says. You remember Rahab the harlot? She had to lie. But you see, these matters are life and death. And no doubt if the midwives had told the truth, they would have been put to death. And Rahab knew that if those spies were caught, they would be put to death. And so she lied on their behalf. But we must be careful about lying and telling untruths. In those examples, there were good outcomes. But it doesn't behove us to think, oh, if I lie, I'm sure there'll be a good outline and a good outcome. We are commanded to bear a true witness, especially in a court of law. There are other examples in the Bible where people lied, and because of that, death resulted for someone else. You might know the first lie in the Bible, Genesis 3, verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, he shall not surely die. And that was a lie, because in the day that they ate of that fruit, death was introduced into the world, and eventually both Adam and Eve did die. The Bible tells us what we're like, what humanity is like. John 8, verse 44. The art of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so men and women, boys and girls, quite naturally lie. That's why we have the commandment. It shows us that that is a failure, a sin of humanity. So if we've got truth, it should bring justice. And if we have truth, then whatever that truth is, then we can trust it. What do people trust in today? Well, one man who we read about at the beginning, he trusted in his wealth. And I'm reminded of those words in the Old Testament of Job. I came into the world with nothing, and I shall leave the world with nothing. Naked I shall come, naked I shall leave. And we all end up as dust in the earth. So people do trust in wealth in vain. Some people trust in love and are disappointed. Might be because it isn't love that they find. But that's what they're after. Some people put their trust in peace. But there hasn't been much peace in the world ever since the world has been in existence. Others in possessions. And so they gather possessions around them. Wealth and possessions are very similar things. And substance, things that they own, a nice house. And they think they've got everything with two cars, three or four televisions, and, you know, more than the neighbor. We should be able to trust our parents and our teachers, but in the day and age in which we live, that's not the case. Teachers now are forced to teach all sorts of things that we would consider wrong, that a man can become a woman, or that a woman can become a man, and that it's okay, that it's all right for a woman to marry a woman or a man to marry a man. And if you put your trust in your health, then you are going to be very sadly mistaken in doing that, because one thing you cannot trust is your health. And a little phrase that's come up in the last few months to do with what they call climate change and global warming and the COVID outbreak is trust the science. And the science that they want you to trust in is man's science. It's what man has invented. And a lot of these things we're asked to trust in this country have not really been proven beyond a doubt. And the world is full of lies and half-truths. I expect you've all told a white lie or exaggerated at some time. They're all to do with not quite telling the whole truth. Hollow promises, giving a false impression. Now, it's good to give a good impression at an interview to get a job, but you should not be giving a false impression and lying about your qualifications or about your experiences. But we often lie to ourselves to justify the things that we do. And we live in a world that's full of gossip. In fact, some television programs are based upon gossip, aren't they? These so-called reality programs are nothing like real. And we hear of slander and of fraud, cheating and tax evasion. Can we trust our government? Our present government, I don't know, well, the opposition say they've made many, many U-turns. And we can remember a government a few years ago that had nothing in their manifesto about what they called redefining marriage. And they could not be trusted. And I can remember a debate between those who were for redefining marriage and for those who were against. And it was quite okay to say that you thought that marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman was wrong. But you try saying that now in a public place and you will get trouble or criticism. But at the time, it was a lively debate and it was fine. But not today. And things that we were told about the redefining of marriage, that you will never be, a church would never be forced to marry, have a ceremony and marry other than a man and a woman. I wouldn't be surprised if that would be changed in the future, because can we really trust government and what they say? Can we trust the government's manifesto? Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I'm talking about your heart and my heart. All hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I know it seems like I'm talking about other people other than myself or ourselves, but we are all guilty of exaggeration and giving a false impression, making excuses. And it all comes down to what's inside us. Can you trust yourself? Are you one of these people that do things on impulse and then later regret it? Are you a person who's made poor judgments in the past? But in the Bible, and I won't read the whole verse, just a part of the verse, in Titus 1 and verse 2, it's got these words, God that cannot lie. And that's a wonderful thing. He is one who which we can fully trust, because he cannot lie. There are some things that God cannot do. He cannot lie and he cannot change. You might be able to think of some others. And in Proverbs 3 verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. That's very good advice from the writer of Proverbs. And truth is so important. Later on in Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 23, we've got these words. Buy the truth, purchase it, get hold of it, and sell it not. Keep it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Well, if you're going to buy the truth, you've got to find it first. If you're thinking of the picture of a shop, shopping for it, you've got to find a shop that's got the truth. And when you find it, make sure you buy it and that you don't ever sell it. It's something that's precious, truth. And what does God desire? In Psalm 51, verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God doesn't want us to be liars. He wants us to be truthful. That's why we have the ninth commandment. So God cannot lie. He cannot change. And he cannot make a mistake. He's perfect in all things and in all ways, in every way. It's his character. That's what he's like. I'll just briefly mention evolution. I know a book that's been written that has this title, The Lie, Evolution. And it's not been proven. It won't be proven because evolution is a lie. And as I've mentioned, the change from a man to a woman. A man cannot be a woman and a woman cannot be a man. They can dress up like the other, but they will always be what they were born as. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, there's a parable, and I'm going to turn to it in Matthew 13. You know it well, Matthew 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And in my mind, I'm picturing rather than treasure, it's truth that this man's found, like truth hid in a field, and which when a man hath found, he hideth so no one else can get it, and for joy thereof go and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And it reminds me of that verse in Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not. And the parable of the pearl in the next verse is very similar. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so you can imagine in that the context is truth, buying truth, finding truth. It's so precious. Remember when Jesus was tried for things that he hadn't done, because he was completely innocent and sinless. They brought many false witnesses to his trial. If you like, witnesses for the prosecution. And I was thinking, no one was brought to the trial to speak on his behalf. There were no witnesses for the defense. But I know it was of the day, and that was what trials were like in those times. And if you got justice, well, it'd be quite rare, I would think. If someone wanted to get rid of you, then they would just bring in false witnesses, like Jezebel did. But Pilate, during his conversations with the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks this question, what is truth? And he was looking at him. Jesus is truth. He speaks the truth and he is truth. He represents the truth. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in Proverbs 30 and verse 5, we can trust the word of God. Every word of God is pure. It's just his word, no one else's. It's purely from God. Every word of God is pure. And if you want to invest some trust in something, then you can trust the Bible and you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust him for what that man wanted at the beginning of today's little talk. He wanted to know how to get eternal life, and that is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, and to put him first in your life, to not consider your wealth, and if that's what you consider the most important thing, all these other things that we've listed, possessions, they must be treated as trivial things. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and it's our trust in him that will enable us to get or inherit eternal life.